Brooklyn. Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Satnam, everyone. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm your favorite Sasha Sugar. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I am so happy to have today's show. I have a very special guest, Mia Haber. Mia Haber has almost introduced me to Kundalini. I have tried a few Kundalini practices before I met Mia, but she was the one that made me think, oh, I kind of like, I need to spend more time with it. There is something in this practice. There is something. So that click to a practice that sometimes is necessary for you to start practicing any spiritual or wellness or, I mean, honestly, any healing or elevating practice, that click is so crucial. So I'm so grateful that Mia was the one to trigger that in me. And today she is here in Radio Free Brooklyn studio. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Satnam. Good afternoon.
Oh, you sound great on the mic. Okay. good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming all the way to Bushwick on this rainy, wet day. But as Kundalini Yogi teach us, the light is within you. So we don't care for rain, for snow, for, you know, hurricanes. The light is within us. So let's spread it out.
Light. Love that. Yeah.
So Mia, before we start, I just kind of wanted to give a quick snapshot of how I came to Kundalini.
Awesome.
I've heard a lot about Kundalini for several years, but I never really tried it. I tried everything else. Different types of yoga, different types of meditations. I can go more in details, but my audience, they kind of, whoever's been following my journey, they know from the previous shows I've done what exactly practices I have been trying to help myself heal from the heartbreak or stored emotions or help to connect to the higher power and all those things. Finally, I decided to try Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I Googled it. Golden Bridge Yoga comes up first.
Yeah.
It's the center of Kundalini in New York, I believe so. And then there were a few other center. So I've tried multiple. I got a student pass for the Golden Bridge, and I've tried multiple teachers. Like I mentioned before, it didn't click with me. I think I didn't have enough context to totally tap into the weirdness of the sounds and the exercises. And audience, please bear with us. We'll explain to you more what Kundalini practice is. But then, yeah, like I mentioned, I attended your class and something just clicked on me and I saw so much value in that practice. So first of all, thank you so much for doing that.
You're welcome.
And yeah, so basically that's my experience. And when I spoke to my friends in my social circle about Kundalini, a lot of people have heard about it, but it seems that they all think that Kundalini is just one type of yoga. Mm. Maybe it's a different type of stretching, or maybe it's a different type of doing the pigeon pose. So there is an awareness of the term Kundalini,
right,
but I don't think there is a solid understanding of what Kundalini is.
Yeah.
So maybe let's start with that.
What
Kundalini is, and if you could give us a bit of the historical aspect of it, that would be great too.
So thank you again for having me here, Sasha. I'm really honored and excited. Some of my favorite subjects are love and what is love and Kundalini yoga. And the purpose of all forms of yoga, actually, no matter the school or the genre, is to awaken or raise Kundalini. So then we have to ask, well, what is Kundalini? What does that mean? So it's translated from Sanskrit as meaning the curled lock of the divine, lock meaning hair. So it's this idea that if source was a being that we all possess the curled lock of the divine, like how some people, their beloved, they cut the hair of their precious beloved and they wear it around their heart. It's that sort of idea.
Smells a bit witchy here.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's translated from Sanskrit. But what it really means, another interpretation of that, is the divine potential or source or chi energy or spiritual energy that exists in every atom. Every atom of existence, every atom within us, every atom outside of us. And all forms of asana. Asana means physical practice of yoga. So even more traditional things like hatha yoga, where you're really making shapes for the muscles and the bones and the ligaments to get in balance, they were all designed to help human beings sit and then meditate and actually to open up the channels to connect back into the divine, like plugging yourself back into your docking station, back into your source. And what the practice of Kundalini yoga and meditation does is it does this all really fast. We call it the yoga of awareness. Some people call it the highway yoga. And it's, in fact, the only school or form of yoga that's designed for, we call it householders. So that means people that are living in the material world, having sex, literally. I mean, and for women, this is the only form of yoga that's specifically designed to allow for women. The other lineages of yoga kind of take for granted that maybe you might be a renunciate and you're going to live in the cave and you're going to do these very intensive physical practices, like really gymnastic, really intensive practices for hours and hours a day. You might eat one meal a day and you're given all your housing and your care. You're like a monk. In order to wake up your Kundalini, your divine potential energy, that awareness. And our teacher is a man named Yogi Bhajan, came here from northern India, Punjab. He was born before the partition, 1948, so it was Pakistan. And he was a Sikh from northern India, and he was a master of both Hatha Yoga, the physical practice, and Kundalini Yoga. He became a master when he was 16. It came from a very wealthy, established, intellectual family in northern India. And the practices like that you got to experience in a Kundalini yoga class and all the teachings that you'll see of Kundalini yoga, and he gave us a big technology. There are 5,000 different meditations and over 2,000 different kriyas. A kriya is like a set of actions. So what you do, like if you move your leg like this, or you do this breath like that, and then you chant the sound like this, like that, that would be a kriya. Like Bikram yoga has 26 poses, always the same. That would be one kriya, right? Mm-hmm. Kriya is what you do with your body or your breathing.
It's a set of exercise exactly. for a specific purpose.
Exactly, exactly. So we
and
have...
Could you give us an example of what kind of purpose could this be? Let's say...
Yeah, great question.
Let out my... The mm-hmm. pain from my childhood, from my left rib. I don't know. I'm just
well, pain from the child. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to approach different aspects of subconscious trauma or unconscious trauma. Sure, removing childhood rage, healing the liver, opening circulation in the body, strengthening the heart. These are suggestions. All, you know, very basic things, building the muscle systems, adjusting the spine. These will all be kriyas. And then things that seem very esoteric, like expanding the light of the heart or, yeah, these healing of memory processes, a lot of subconscious work. He gave us a lot of things to work with our psyche as well.
And is there a specific way that you need to approach Kundalini in general? Let's say you should start with first healing your heart, healing your inner child, healing your liver, and then kind of move towards a more divine.
No, it's a great question, but the answer to that is no. So the idea is what I love about these teachings, and for me, I was a professional dancer. I studied Ashtanga yoga from really early childhood. Love really hard physical, super intense physical, that approach. But in a lot of ways, was really coming from an ego as a Westerner. And the idea about Kundalini yoga and why I love it so much is it's a householder's yoga. It's for people that don't have a lot of time and need to like wake up their potential and have their nervous systems, their endocrine systems available to handle the crazy world that we're living in now. And it's very intense, right? We live in the age of anxiety, the age of information, where our nervous systems are really inundated and overloaded. Look at the computers in front of us, like right now in this room. No, it's good. Look, but
I was about to shut us
it's
down.
Good. Look, we also have a gift of this technology. 200 years ago, 300, the technology you and I are using right now to communicate and share and build a tribe where people can communicate together, information exchange, is miraculous also, and it's awesome, and it uplifts everybody. It's also, it can be damaging too, depending on the information that gets shared, and if there's not consciousness behind it, right? We know that. You can also spread a lot of hate. It's great tools of propaganda, we know that. However, even if you don't judge what is being communicated in this age of information, just the fact that we have to digest and process our nervous system, our brain, so much more information, we get stressed out. And it's hard on our brains. It's hard on our endocrine system, on our bodies. So what I love about the practice of Kundalini yoga is you can even do a certain exercise for like 3 minutes and adjust yourself, get a little more centered, feel a little more relaxed, get your blood to circulate, get more cerebral spinal fluid to your brain so you think more clearly, you feel better, and then you just have your day. So some people will approach it, I just want to relieve stress. Other people approach it, I've got this injury in my body. And, you know, other people come in with emotional heartbreak or trauma. Other people come from major early childhood abuse or depression or shutdown, and they have that intention. It doesn't really matter. You meet yourself exactly where you are with it.
So do you think that Kundalini yoga is for everyone? Because you've just mentioned
a wide
range of the potential, I don't want to say clients. I just like the word client.
Practitioner, maybe?
Sure. Yeah. Potential practitioners that come to Kundalini, mm-hmm. for some of them, it's just more of, as you mentioned, to get your body moving, get mm-hmm. your energy streamlined mm-hmm. in the body. For somebody, it's just healing a physical defect in the body or mm-hmm. helping the body heal from a surgery.
Sure.
Whereas for a lot of people, it's more an emotional tool to deal with some traumas in their lives. So do you think that Kundalini is for everyone?
It's a good question. Well, my real honest answer of that is no. And you know why? And I'm going to, she's shocked. She's got the most beautiful shock, like eyebrows up. Yeah, the shock fit. Here's why. It's not for people that don't really want to wake up. Because the problem is, and I've been teaching for like 16 years now, and I've seen people just walk out, and I get it. Because the deal is, I always say, and this was my experience when I did it, and I, done like every other form of yoga and before this and lots of different physical practices and meditation practices. Issue with Kundalini yoga is you're going to have awakening of your consciousness. You're going to get woke whether you want to or not. And awakening is not a controlled substance, right? I always say it's like the Matrix. I don't remember which pill it was, but like, remember, like he said, if you take like the red one, you can go back to sleep and you won't know anything I told you. But if you take the blue one, I might be getting the colors wrong, then you'll never see the world the same again. And that's the thing about this process. So that's threatening to a lot of people. However,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you're so right on it.
Yeah.
I think I read the other night that, so what's the name, the guru's name who brought the Kundalini in?
He's not a guru, Yogi Bhajan, and he wouldn't refer to himself as a guru, and this is not a lineage of gurus, and that's where it's revolutionary too. So I say something about that, just I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, we one of the reasons why this is a revolutionary practice, and he got punished when these teachings were secret. They've been around for literally thousands of years.
Yep.
And he came to the West, he was actually at Woodstock, and he said he was shocked. Yeah. And he said, oh my God, like what's these children who have all this wealth? Like imagine you come from Northern India, you know, there's acute poverty. Children are starving in the streets and have no clothes because there's nothing. And he came to the West. He saw these wealthy white people walking around going insane and taking drugs to try to connect and feel love and connect to divine. And they're choosing to take their clothes off. And from his perspective, he's like, this is crazy. These people need support, these tools. And the Aquarian age is coming, right? We talk about the dawning of the age of Aquarius. We're going to be moving into a new era. And if the West is going to lead the way, because the West has the money and the West has the resources, he said the consciousness of this earth is actually going to be determined by the consciousness of the Western woman. Because
oh my God, there is so much right there.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Can we just pause for a second?
Yeah,
Just guys, whoever is listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, if you have a question, please feel free to call us on the show. The call-in number is 718-928-9732. And you see, I have to close my eyes to remember the number because it's almost like divine is talking to me, you know, giving me that number, like spread the love, spread the light on the internet. So it's 718-928-9732. And Mia, that's exactly what I wanted to kind of point out about the fact that we are so privileged on the Western world to being kind of chasing God or chasing divine or chasing just the high. Chasing the high.
The avoidance of the pain and the suffering.
Yeah, using different substances and spending a shitload of money. I mean, come on, all the drugs are pretty expensive. I know I've done them, so I can openly speak about it. But the Yogi Bhajan, he was stunned by it, and the Kundalini, it's a natural, absolutely natural.
Yeah, it's inside of everybody. So this is part of where it's revolutionary too. This is not about caste. It's not about sex. You know, a lot of these teachings and a lot of Hatha yoga, again, not for women, right? Just for men or just for monks and stuff. Okay, well, women have a more complicated glandular system. And he also would talk a lot about, when I say that the consciousness of the earth is determined by the consciousness of the women, it's because all humans get born of women. No one comes onto this planet Earth if not through the womb of a woman. And what we know, and we're learning more as 21st century medical science is now getting us to understand more what a lot of beings understood intuitively and many tribes and cultures around the world understood intuitively, is that the breath pattern of the mother is the breath pattern of the baby. And the consciousness of the mother becomes the consciousness of the family. And that is the building block of society. Also, the subconsciousness or the unconsciousness of the mother becomes the unconsciousness of society. So just part of why this is a revolutionary lineage is there's no guru with this. There are avatars, there are people still in India that are amazing, fully realized beings, if you believe in that stuff, and they will give you the touch and awaken your Kundalini. And many people are afraid of that. This practice, what I teach, what we're talking about, is one of self-initiation. There is no guru, meaning wisdom. Guru is like a teacher, but it means from darkness to light. Gu is darkness, ru is light. it doesn't exist outside of you. Each and every human being, no matter their age, gender, sex, class, what's in their bank account, like nothing. It's equal in each and every living being. He said, our teacher said, look, some people know how to shift their gears and adjust, other people don't. And here are tools, the teachings of Kundalini Yoga and meditation, to help each, every living being adjust themselves so they can elevate themselves to their next highest level of consciousness of being on this earth. But it's up to them. No one can get inside you and do your yoga, your meditation for you. We must do it ourselves. And it's possible. So that's really revolutionary too. We don't put anyone up on a pedestal. We support people in guiding to finding their own mastery. And that's big. You know, as teachers or instructors, we're not looking for followers. We're supporting each and every individual in experiencing their own loving, authentic leadership, because that's what this earth needs. So, yeah.
Wow, this is so powerful. Yeah. So since we've touched on the kind of divine aspect of this practice.
Yeah. Fast, right? Totally moves fast.
Fuck the rest of, honestly, we're talking about divinity here. Like, this is just so, I'm getting hot just from the, you know, talking about it. And we, both of us took a beautiful class this morning. Yeah. With another yogi instructor, which was very powerful. So I feel that I still have the heat of my body. This is only a personal perspective.
Totally.
Because as you just explained, the Kundalini, there is no like official, like, dogmatic approach. It's more like a tool to open up divinity from within you. How do you see Kundalini kind of interwoven mm-hmm. with possibly like other religions or other divine approaches?
Yeah.
And again, it's not
a religion.
But let's say if I'm pursuing Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
And I am.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
How do I know.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I was thinking about Jesus today.
I imagine. Sure. Practice. Well, we did a lot of work in the heart in the practice that we did this morning, and the consciousness of Christ, because it's about the consciousness, right? So Christ consciousness is agape, which is compassion, right? And that's a gift of the heart. It's service and sacrifice, right? For loving, for each other, for humanity, that those are qualities of the heart. So often when we connect in Guru Ram Dass, who we used a mantra today for Guru Ram Dass, comes from a Sikh lineage. Guru Ram Dass is the guru or the light. It's the same Christ consciousness, the energy of the heart or the energy of the Bodhisattva. So these are very similar. It's non-theistic.
Yeah.
Yoga practice. It's really a technology. Yoga is a science of breathing and angles of your body. Basically, it's like, how do I use what I was given? If we're spiritual beings inside of a human form, I like to call it a meat suit. Like, you've got a brain, you got nerve endings, you got muscles, you've got a heart to pump, but it should not be against or counter any spiritual discipline or practice. It should support you in doing better or experiencing more of that if you want.
I'm so delighted you are saying this words, because I almost feel guilty to tell my Christian girlfriends, I'm actually a big fan of Kundalini yoga, because they're not, I think, as open-minded. How would you help to shape this conversation or even introduce Kundalini to the hardcore followers of religious doctrine?
Yeah, I mean, I've been teaching a long time. I also teach in schools with little children. So I've encountered over the years, like, parents, sometimes mm-hmm. parents getting threatened.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, they're like, why is my boys, like, we're fighting. And all of a sudden, like, the little one, he went upstairs and said, I'm going to go do my dump truck, which is what, when I work with little children, I give them, it's a meditation to help, it balances the hemispheres of the brain or adjust for emotional upset. So instead of, like, punching his brother, he went upstairs and he was pressing each fingertip and he was chanting and he was breathing long and deep. You know,
Oh my God, you teach children that?
Yeah. From 20 months up and for years, it's a big part of my life.
It's amazing.
It's the sweetest thing in the world, but because it works. And I'm not here to convert anyone. I don't have any interest. If people want to come and they feel that something would be as supportive. Often there's been a movement, like in the public schools where I've taught for years too. Now we have a change. They call it mindfulness.
Right.
So instead of, but it's excellent. And there's many approaches. From our perspective from Kundalini Yoga, Yogi Bhajan was very clear. He said, if you can't see God in all, you can't see God at all. So to not reject or shape it. However, if people are coming from that perspective, then that's for them. And it's important to be really respectful of people's beliefs. But a belief, from my understanding, I'm also a spiritual counselor, is just a thought that you hold really strongly and you have a lot of neurotransmitters and the neuroreceptors for. So it's a science. So that's why it's just a yoga. It's a science, breath and angles. You're going to go to the doctor if you're having an anxiety attack. They're going to do things to get your blood pressure to drop so your parasympathetic nervous system can tune on. They're going to make you breathe slowly, or they'll give you meds that will force you to do it and you will relax. It's basically the same thing. We say here, you don't have to take a pill. You don't have to. You do this. Do this breath. Sit in this way. Maybe stretch in this way. And be your own guinea pig. Like, see how you feel. It's not against or for any religion. I don't know if that answers your question.
It definitely answers my question. And yeah. I personally don't have any issue with that. I'm just thinking, okay, so in Kundalini, there is no, you know, this big guru. There is no...
No, it's in you. There is a big guru. The wisdom is in you. If it's in anyone, it's in you.
Whereas in many religions, there is one...
It's outside.
You know, ...leader that... And you have to praise the Lord.
Well, we say, like, from this perspective, that it's inside of you as much as it's outside, and it's interconnected. It's interconnected. It's everywhere. This could now get into I like a religious religion as opposed to what we call dharma or a practice or a lifestyle, a way of life. A dharma is a way of life, or a path of righteousness. Really, is what it is. And we're living in an age where we can't wait. People are in pain and disconnection and suffering. And to put structures of even Christ outside of one's own ability to connect into it, well, I'll just speak personally for myself. To me, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy because it's inside too. He wouldn't have been negating anyone. And yet I understand that for some people but it's an old patriarchal system and it's from another era. We're living in a new time and the revolution is now. Right. And if we don't all claim our birthright, which is happiness undisturbed by loss or gain, which is loving, to witness who we are and to use all of our tools and our gifts, someone else will take advantage of it, right? If we disempower ourselves by disconnecting, then we're followers and we're only on our base level of surviving instead of thriving. And we're not just here to survive. We're here to uplift and thrive and love and share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As you speak, my heart just starts, racing in a good way.
Yeah.
You mentioned our birthright of being happy. I think, I believe there is a
Could you 3HO is the Happy Healthy Whole organization, and that is, in fact, they have 3 seats on the UN. That was one of the it's the community of the lifestyle that's associated with Kundalini yoga, and it's a nonprofit organization. We hold, they're based in Espanola, New Mexico. They are a 301c nonprofit, and it's a big community organization to share teachings and practices and holistic lifestyles that every human on this earth can experience their happiness, wholeness, and health, wellness. And they have programs all around the world. There are, for summer solstice in New Mexico, big gathering on the mountain in Espanola. There are thousands of yogis of all ages. Families come and they learn and share together and dance and sing, and there's music and we eat and we cook and we learn and we study and we do Kundalini yoga meditation up there. There's the European Yoga Festival is just as big now. 3HO runs that. And then winter solstice is in Lake Wales, Florida. At that time, and there are communities and gatherings now all around the world. It's really spread.
Yes, so it's not just US.
3HO, go to the website, free, lots of information on the technology and the lifestyle, yogic lifestyle, recipes, all kinds of good resources there.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Guys, this is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we are demystifying Kundalini with Mia Haber today. We will be back after a short... Well, maybe not so short because a lot of Kundalini music is the pretty long tracks. But I promise I won't play the entire thing, but Waha Guru, Waha. I can't.
Wahe Guru.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what she said. Stay with us. We'll be back on Radio Free Brooklyn in just a few minutes. Satnam, everyone. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Sasha Sugar, and I have beautiful Mia Haber today in my studio. And we are demystifying Kundalini for y'all seeking divine or just killing your Sunday afternoon because there was a sex outside. But your people, light is within you. So stay with us on Radio Free Brooklyn to get a punch of divine love from Mia. And if you have your own story to share of the Kundalini story, if you have any questions, I'm sure you do have questions about Kundalini, you can call us on the studio at 718-928-9732. 718-928-9732. Yes, I got it right. About 20 minutes left, and we just were kind of chatting with Mia while you were all listening to beautiful Snatam Kaur. Is that how you say it?
Snatam Kaur, yeah.
Oh, God.
All of her work is beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So is Kundalini dangerous? Mia says she gets this question a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the word itself is quite, it's very mysterious.
Yeah.
And I think it's in our nature to be at least skeptical about something that we don't understand or about the mysterious things. So, yeah, can it be dangerous and if yes, then in which way?
See, I think it's really healthy to be skeptical. I that's a belief for me, right? Because it's it's easy. People are all seeking to connect and what is the purpose of my life and why am I here? And what is, there's maybe something in me, there's a longing to belong. I don't know where it comes from. It's really easy to, in this material world, particularly in the West, to connect into that our longing and belong. It's in that car, it's in that outfit, it's in that bag, it's in the money in my bank account, it's in status, right? It's in the external. But many abundantly wealthy people can tell you that they're not experiencing loving and connection and peace. The answer may not be there.
It is not, guys. Please, if you still believe that the answer is in your bank account, it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, it can help, right? But this lineage is also not about giving it all away or rejection of everything, but it's about understanding in its place. So Kundalini, yeah, is it dangerous? People get really, and a lot of people will come to the yoga centers or come to me because they've had someone told me it was a Kundalini awakening. I just woke up. Some people are having, it feels like a schizophrenic break or a psychic break. And that may be just an awakening. And if your nervous system, like your structure, your programming, I mean, basically this is like your programs. If you have an old operating system, mm-hmm. right? And you put in, like if you've got this really nice new MacBook, but if you tried to put in the new iOS updates in the original MacBook, it wouldn't run. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. And the whole thing would like freak out and shut down. So that's kind of what happens to a lot of people.
I like the analogy.
Yeah, but that is what happens. And when people take drugs or things like that, and they may have a quick awakening conscious, they may witness things or see things, so they have an orgasm, they go, oh God, oh God, oh God, which is awesome, right? They get oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. It's the hormone that opens up your cervix. It's all of that to birth life. What we do in this practice is build it in a way that you've got the hardware to hold for this really fast, potent, incredible software. And that's in your body. That's in your breath capacity. That's in the strength of literally of your nervous system. And it does it gradually. So it is safe. This practice, if you do it safely, right? And I do want to say that there are a lot of people, and there are a lot of people even in New York, and it's people are searching and people are open. And there are definitely a lot of people that want to take advantage. It's a very powerful technology, Kundalini yoga and meditation. What I mean is beware of someone.
I just made this.
Beware. She made a, excuse me, face, eyebrows furrowed. Beware of someone that is trying to tell you that they know better than you, or try to put themselves above you, or to try to get you on the hook. Like, just check. Be skeptical.
Can we be a bit more specific about that?
I'm not going to name anyone. Look, no, beware if someone says they're a guru, or if magazine articles say a new guru has come to town. I'm going to leave it at that. we want to beware that, and because you can get people very high and hypnotized by chanting, by using, we often use a big gong, a symphonic gong for this thing, you know, feel if, and you might wake up consciousness. And when your consciousness wakes up, because the subconscious may tell you that the old way is healthy for your survival, it's the resistance part of us, the resistance to our loving, the resistance to the maximum of our light. Because there's a lot of reasons for this. This is a whole nother topic, really. It's normal to feel resistance. Resistance can come up in a feeling like I'm freaking out. I've had that many times myself. Mm-hmm. Take your time, move steady and slowly. And like I was just saying to you, that's part of where the physical practice, the asanas, the physical practice of the yoga is really important. Cleaner diet, no drugs. You know, nourish yourself, sleep, all these very basic things that we know about health and well-being.
Prepare your physical body for non-physical.
Yeah, prepare your physical body, because for the non-physical, because it's always there. You're never going to experience anything spiritual, any loving, any consciousness outside of your physical context. It doesn't happen. You only get to experience reality through the meat suit, through the body temple. So treat it like a temple. So that's what I'm saying. It's not dangerous in that way. There are approaches to awaken Kundalini. Not Kundalini yoga is taught by Yogi Bhajan. Not if you're chanting and tuning in Om Namo Gurudev Namo beforehand, you're covered, you're protected. But take it, do it for you. Practice it for you.
Have you seen people that, I'll speak for myself, I'm very emotional and I'm very passionate.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, if I find something that's just like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I want to go all the way.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, that was me too. Me too.
But you said, have you, okay, so maybe you can share your experience, when you do so also, are there any hesitations in, let's say if I decide to pursue, I drop my career, I work in advertising technology, which has nothing to do with
spirituality. Oh, cool.
Not so cool.
That you can see.
But let's say just one day, 5 months from now, I wake up and I said, yeah, I have a calling. I want to do Kundalini for the rest of my life. And I drop everything.
Right.
I have, like, does this happen to
people? Yeah, it happens to people. Our teacher said almost no one should do this only for their living. They should also do other things. Again, it's for householders. Very few will be able to hold it where their ego isn't going to get in the way and start trying to control or command or manipulate.
Become that guru.
Yeah. And you'll see it a lot. It's a spiritual ego. And almost every yoga community has had that. And you're seeing that these systems are falling. So, you know, it doesn't, but practice and use it and share. The idea is that everybody become the lighthouse, because there's so many people, and it's increasingly on this earth, more and more people in pain and suffering. And what we need are more people that are connected, that are healthy, that are strong emotionally, strong physically, strong in their nervous system, strong spiritually, so that we can support and nurture each other. But you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you help others.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you become a martyr, you're shut down, and then it poisons. The exchange gets poisoned. So, yeah, if that is your calling and you get a sign like that and your other skills aren't going to be used, then, follow that. But we don't, I mean, this is all imaginary. You don't know what would happen, what's going to happen.
So what was your personal journey with Kundalini? You mentioned you were
Yoga, a dancer. I was a little mover early on. I was born into a pretty traditional Jewish family and a family of musicians and artists. My father is a cantor, Chazan, who sings like the prayers, but also a businessman but will wake us up singing music. So there was always a lot of singing and spiritual singing and that in my life. My mother is an artist and professor, brilliant, brilliant mind. And so there was a lot of questioning, and we were raised with that. But I was always very physical, like dancing as soon as I could stand on my feet, like a lunatic, and dancing till I passed out. And my parents were not stage parents. I went in there, and I was really blessed my whole life, that I got to study with the masters of the 20th century and the 21st century of dance, Martha Graham and all these people. Yeah. And I was given the path of Ashtanga yoga to train the body very young at 8. I used it. I didn't know at the time, went into deep asana meditations. I would stay when I was very, I had a lot of hormonal upset in adolescence, a lot of pain and emotional pain, and felt suicidal at times, and found myself, what I know now, having studied Kundalini yoga, I would do these meditations that we know now, I was doing them spontaneously to bathe the frontal lobe to help lift depression. And I have an older sister who had a child who Friday turned 17. And during that pregnancy, there was a lot of anxiety and fear, and the baby was born in distress, and that really impacted me. And there are a lot of ways to approach the conversation. I also was dancing professionally. My first professional dancing job after graduating, a college was September 10th, a seventh floor walk up on Fulton Street. And of course, the second day of our rehearsals was, and I, a very privileged first world person, had never seen bodies falling and things like that before. So that was a big trauma for me. And within a few weeks after that, I found prenatal yoga. And for me, it was like this convergence because of the anxiety and the suffering I saw that I couldn't really understand with my sister's pregnancy and the baby and
so much death.
Yeah, and all of that. And I found these teachings, and I found Kundalini yoga through my teacher, Gurumukh, because of her book, Beautiful, Bountiful, Blissful, with the, I wept. I read the opening chapter and I wept, and it shocked me how much I wept. I felt purpose, connection, because she talked about the consciousness of our earth is going to be determined by the consciousness of the mothers and of the babies. And so I found that teaching. And then for me, I still did the practices. I loved it. I felt high. It felt like when I did ecstasy in college and did a lot of drugs. And to me, it felt high, but I wasn't out of it. I didn't feel effed up. It's like I was in my body and I had tingling and sensations outside of orgasm, but beyond orgasm. I was lucky to be multiply orgasmic, and even still, this was better than that. Seriously. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Yeah, is this? Like, there was no dude here and there were no drugs here, and oh my God. And yet I felt my feet on the ground and I could carry on a conversation. What is this? And it was hard. And I'm very physical at the time, was even more physical strength, professional dancer. And I found I could do the physical practices like so hard and all this. And I never got injured. And when I was dancing professionally, I had tons of injuries. So I practiced for about a year and I taught, I assisted my teacher, but secretly I was still agnostic. I didn't understand what people meant when they said you have a soul. I didn't believe it. And then,
How old were you then?
22. Okay. And then we're doing a cleanse at the Omega Institute with my teacher, Gurumukh. And on the third day of the cleanse, so I wasn't smoking pot, I wasn't having alcohol, I wasn't eating sugars, no meat, no flesh, you know, for a couple of days. So my body started to open. And we were doing this one exercise of twisting where now I know it helps stimulate your pineal gland, which is like that God spot in the crown of your head. And I had this feeling, oh, I have a soul. It was like this voice inside my body. And I opened my eyes, I stopped, I froze. And my teacher was like, you know, there are 200 people in the room. And she looked right at me in that moment. And I was like, whoa. And she just kind of nodded. And I was
probably
like,
probably saw the light over your crown.
Yeah, she does this all the time, right? She's used to this. So, and I'm grateful for having an instructor because I felt safe. But I knew. And then that was my experience. And then I couldn't unknow. That was the Matrix thing. So, okay. And I was already teaching Pilates and doing physical stuff. I love doing alignment therapy. I love it. I can see it. It brings in my dancer training and all this. So for me, and I started sharing and doing that at a Pilates and yoga studio. I was lucky to get to travel around the world and assist my teacher Gurumukh and see how she could support and help thousands of people across the world. And pretty soon, like when I was 26, we were teaching at Kripalu, a women's course, and they were like, hundreds of women, and after the class they all line up, they want to ask her questions, like all sorts of painful questions that come up about their lives, and said, all right, well, half of you come to me, half of you go to Mia. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not a wise teacher, what am I going to do? So I realized, okay, I need to get more credentialed, and I went and I got my master's in spiritual counseling.
There is a program like that?
There are many now. I mean, I had to leave the East Coast, but now even Columbia University a few years ago got a grant to start doing practices in consciousness. So things are changing. Things are changing. Yeah. Thank God. People are waking up. Yeah, you know, right. People want to wake up. Look at the kids in Florida. People are waking up. They're using the voices, the privilege that they have, they're actually using now. And that's what we need to do. So, and, you know, that was my path in that way.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
And it also speaks to, in one of the classes, you mentioned something specifically about the power of Western women.
Yeah.
And the role of Western women in facilitating this spiritual awakening of the earth.
To save the human race is actually the idea.
Can we talk more about it?
I mean, we could. Yeah, of course. Why not?
For a few minutes.
So basically,
could you just elaborate on that idea?
Look, we have all these weapons of war and powers of destruction and unconsciousness and darkness on this earth. We have fear and suffering in much of the planet. And there's also loving. And if every single soul has the same capacity and potential of spiritual energy, of Kundalini energy, and if every single human that gets born, soul that comes into a human form, gets born through a woman, and we Western women are the women, this is not even about I don't have any children yet this lifetime, but I'm supporting to my best ability. Women are sensitive. We contain the energy. We call it Mother Earth. Mother Earth is containing the energy. She's suffering too, right? We can wake up our consciousness of the loving of the feminine. And that comes from the feminine, the women also realizing that they have power. We realize that we have power.
In the West.
We have agency. We have the freedom. You know, we're not getting genitally mutilated. We're not getting imprisoned. We can speak freely without getting beaten. And we need to take action. We have money. We have resources. And what are we doing with it? Are we avoiding and evading the pain that we sense and feel around us and just like numbing ourselves on the internet or with drugs or wine or reality television? And I do it too. It's very sexy. It's really hard not to get distracted and to want to avoid the pain. But we are stronger than that. And you know, it's not guaranteed that we won't all just blow each other up and die. But unless we actually wake up and do something and share and commit and serve each other.
Isn't it crazy and beautiful that this practice has existed for centuries, for thousand years?
Yeah.
But we of the Western world, and we kind of lead and manage the whole world.
That's right.
The U.S. and Europe, but only since last century. Last century sounds so far away, but only 40
it's fast
years
in the development of humanity. Yeah.
50 years ago, this practice came to the Western world, mm-hmm. and now. Because we have so many resources and the intellect and, like you said, the agency and the power and the feminist movement, like we do have this power to now use that sacred Asian knowledge of awakening to just bring it to
share with the world, to uplift the world. And it's not just through Kundalini yoga. The idea is that we have tools that each one of us, maybe this isn't the path of awakening for you. Maybe it's another healing modality or another. You don't have to do these teachings to be awake and conscious. Okay. These are ones that work for me. And I share them because it supported me. Had I not had these personal experiences, I wouldn't believe in them as so much. It's just a thought, right? However, it's been my experience. And the idea is that everyone be their own guinea pig and try out for them what works, but also that you then get to just show up as you are. So maybe it's as a doctor, as a lawyer, but if you're awake and centered and strong, you can serve more, do more, and you can inspire others to wake up in their own selves and fulfill their destiny, whatever it is, whatever their individual destiny is this lifetime. But that's possible for every single living being on this earth. And this technology supports us in being able to hold for that and help each other to do that and be available to do that and to listen to the message of the divine that we know where to go and what action steps to take.
Mia, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is so beautiful. Oh, I love
thank
it.
You.
We have a few minutes left and so what we want to do, guys, so we want to, Mia will guide us through a loving meditation. It is a What is Love show. It's all about love. Before we get there, I forgot what I wanted to say. I'll remember after the meditation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just go into the meditation. And what I wanted to say is that, yes, it does work. Kundalini works for you. It does work for me. I've also tried a bunch of drugs and substances to connect. I mean, and disconnect for different reasons.
Sure.
And Kundalini, you don't need any, honestly, just come with the open heart, with the open mind. Maybe get a bit in a physical shape. Just you need to have some body strength to do it. But come with an open heart, honestly. And the sensations and the realizations and the feelings and the emotions that you experience in this practice is just beyond your, you know, comfort zone, beyond your regular mundane routine. It's something truly wonderful. So I encourage everyone to try Kundalini. Of course, try it with Mia. Honestly, Mia is the best in New York. I mean, there are a bunch of beautiful teachers out there, but me personally, I just connect with you so much. So guys, we are going into meditation and tap in, tune in. Let's do it. We have a few minutes.
Awesome. So because the theme of the show is what is love, that we do like a really short, super easily accessible meditation to connect into the loving center of peace at your heart. And so as the meditation for a calm heart, it's phenomenal if you're experiencing anxiety or you feel out of sorts or disconnected or you just don't know what to do. So wherever you are, everybody just sit tall, maybe bring your feet on the earth or just sit your bottom down and let your spine sit up tall and close your eyes, roll them in and up as though you could see through that point in between your eyebrows and up. And let's take a big breath, lift up your shoulders and exhale, drop them. Let any sound you want come out of your mouth like, yeah, two more deep breath in, squeeze up, pick up the luggage you've been carrying. Tight, tight, tighten your shoulders and let it all drop. Go. Yeah, that relief. One more big breath. Lift. And exhale, drop. Yeah. And let's rub our hands together at the center of our chest. And by rubbing your palms together, it helps us to stimulate the nerve endings. We call them nadis, the channels of the heart. Helps also to balance the hemispheres of the brain. So we get good communication through all our parts. And we'll bring those palms together into prayer at your heart, thumbs into your sternum. Again, relax your shoulders, lengthen your spine tall. We always begin any of these meditation practices with a tune-in mantra. It helps us to link our consciousness into the guiding wisdom of all the master teachers, the saints, the sages that have come before us, the wisdom of the creative universe that's available to us now. And we use these five sounds, Om Namo Gurudev Namo. It means I bow, I call, I invoke subtle divine light of wisdom within me. We're going to tune in three times just do your best to follow on with the sound. Inhale deep. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Inhale deep and hold this precious breath. Relax your shoulders, but suspend the breath gently inside, eyes in and up and up, and feel, sense, listen within. Exhale completely. Just press your left hand onto your chest now, the center of your heart, and let your right hand, right thumb, presses to close the index finger of your right hand. So tip of the thumb touches the tip of the index finger.